It's Tuesday at 8 p.m. and you're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
Now, tonight's first guest is the head chef at the award-winning neighbourhood restaurant in Naas, County Kildare. Gareth Naughton has had an exciting culinary journey, so let's find out more.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious.
Gareth, you're very welcome to The Best Possible Taste. You're the head chef in neighbourhood in Naas in County Kildare, and I was actually delighted to have experienced your dining and your menu there just before Christmas because my sister met me halfway so that I could hand my mother back to her. So it's a really, really lovely space, and I want to explore with you a bit more about that. But first, tell me a bit about you and your food journey, because whenever you were a teenager, you actually played for the Leinster youth, the rugby team.
That was my dream as a kid, was to be a rugby player. Like, I started playing rugby when I was five, and I played quite a high level as a teenager for club level. When I was always kind of a bit bigger than my size when I was growing up, so I always had to play for big for higher age groups because no one ever believed I was the age I was. So when I was under 14s, I was playing under 16s. When I was under 16s, I was playing under 18s. And I went to a school that wasn't actually a rugby playing school. It was a GAA school. So that's who I got. I got selected for the Leinster under development team, which was like for players from different backgrounds that weren't for some of the bigger schools. It's the main system of getting into club rugby and international rugby in Ireland, obviously. And the funny thing is, I'm actually a huge Munster fan. I'm not actually a Leinster fan at all. Mm-hmm. Growing up, like Mick Galway and the Claw, and my biggest hero was those boys growing up. You know, they were my heroes. And I actually broke my ankle when I was about 16, and that kind of ended my rugby playing. And from then on, I knew what my path to be. I always wanted to be a chef then as well. Cooking was just something I just loved ever since I was a child, even before I knew it was an actual career I could get into. Like, I love food. I used to rush home from school and watch Ready, Steady, Cook. And, you know, I used to watch like Roads Around Britain with Gary Rhodes and Rick Stein shows and all those TV shows growing up, and even Jamie Oliver, and all, and just loved food, just intrinsically loved it. I can't even say how I did. It was just something I loved. And my first job, I actually got into my sister's best friend. Her dad was a really great butcher. David Hicks, his name was, and he got me my first job in a restaurant called Brasserie Namara that used to be in Dunleary. It's called Hartley's now. It was actually a very beautiful restaurant. It still is quite a beautiful restaurant, but it was stunning. Like, it's just on the train station there in Dunleary, and it was a really, really nice restaurant. And the head chef, Derek, took me in with no experience, never worked in the kitchen, no knowledge of anything. Didn't have a clue. I was very naive to what actually goes on in the kitchen. Like, I didn't realize you start at 9 o'clock in the morning and you don't finish till midnight, and you know, that's the life of a chef. I didn't really realize that. I thought it was all sunshine, rainbows, and you just show up and you put a few things on a plate and that was it. But the realities were hit very fast, and I loved it. I fell into it, and you know, I was prepping vegetables for the first 2 weeks and chopping things, and I'd never really done that before. And then the pastry chef left, and I was shown on the pastry section, and all of a sudden I was pastry chef for this really good restaurant after about two or three weeks. And that was my first kind of foray into food. I haven't really looked back since.
Can we go back to when you were 16 and whenever breaking your ankle ended that rugby career? Because that must have been fairly devastating for you at the time.
Yeah, like, it actually took years for my ankle to heal because I kept injuring it again. I kept trying to go back and play and do the things. I just kept injuring. So that's why I had to just give up eventually. And I wasn't really amazing in school. I didn't really like school. School wasn't for me. A lot of chefs will actually say that school is kind of almost not what they get into, because it's, and then ironically enough, they come into kitchens, and the discipline of kitchens are what almost forces them to be successful and get into it. Like, and that's kind of what happened to me. Like, I was probably very undisciplined in school, but the discipline of kitchens really almost that army style regimentarian of, like, you know, you're below someone on a section and they train you, and that really was good for me anyway, which was great. And after Brasil Namara, I ended up working for Gary Rhodes, who was one of my childhood heroes, obviously, because I used to watch him on TV. And I went to work in his kitchen, and it was a very eye-opening experience, like, because I thought I was enthusiastic and I thought I was all these things that were, like, you know, would get me far. And I got into this kitchen and realized there was people way more enthusiastic and way more knowledgeable and way more creative and way more skillful. And that was another really eye-opening experience, but one that I really learned a lot from.
And just tell me how you ended up working for Gary Rhodes. Was that something that you decided, I want to work there, and you made it happen?
Yeah, like, he opened his restaurant in Dublin in, was it 2007? And I sent my CV in, and it was literally all chef de partie. I was the only commis chef, and I was a very, very naive commis chef as well. I was definitely well above my skill level and well above my knowledge level working there. And it was very long hours and very, you know, it was a very hard restaurant to work in because it was a new opening, and new opening restaurants are very, very difficult. You really have to, like, a lot of people didn't last very long. Like, they'd come in after a day and they wouldn't come back. But it was, yeah, it was a hard place to work, but it was a very, like, working with him for 2 months at the start was one of the best experiences of my career, like, working with somebody like him. And he really opened my eyes to produce and to ingredients and treating everything with respect and love. And he was just, he was a really amazing man, actually. Like, I really learned a lot from him. And they say don't meet your heroes, but he's one of the few people I've met who I can say meeting your heroes isn't a bad thing. Like, he was a gentleman of a man.
So he certainly lived up to your expectations. And it sounds like you sounded to be very resilient in that role. And I think that's probably something that you also learned whenever you were a rugby player, like the discipline whenever you're playing rugby and you're training, and even with the diet now, is all so specific if you want to be the best and perform as well as you possibly can.
It's funny, Tom in Neighbourhood, the owner, he says this a lot, and it's true. You know, it's a team game, a restaurant, a kitchen. It's very much like a GA team or a rugby team or a soccer team, in the sense of it's a collective people working together for the same goal. And as soon as somebody isn't part of that goal, you know, it can be very disruptive. So it is a very similar dynamic to a team. And that's definitely a great way to look at it. I think it's great.
I think that's a brilliant analogy, and not one that I've heard before, but definitely one that I think a lot of people could learn from and implement in their businesses, not just in the food sector, but in other sectors as well. Tell me then about the next step in your journey, because you ended up going to work for a number of Michelin star chefs or a Michelin star restaurant. So tell me about those.
The next, I went to La Cravane then, 3.5 years then. So that was my next step. And that was, again, another eye-opening experience, because it was such a busy restaurant. And they were cooking food at such a high level for such volume. And it was just very, very high. Like, every day was just like, you know, I don't know how I can describe it. Again, as a sporting analogy, where it's like you're playing the Champions League every day because the standards are so high, because the chefs, like, everything about it was just attention to detail and high standards, and, you know, no such thing as a bad service there. Like, you know, every day was really pushed to your limits, kind of thing. Especially that time, because the standard of chefs working there at the time was extremely high. Like, some of the chefs who worked there have now gone on to get Michelin stars themselves and run very successful restaurants. So it was a very, 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 very great, really great kitchen to work in. And obviously Derry was an amazing chef to work for, and Stephen Gibson was the head chef at the time, and he was amazing chef to work for as well. Like, two really talented chefs and really, really great men as well. You know, Derry is one, and Sally Ann as well, they're just amazing people. Like,
and of course they're in Kildare now, like yourself.
Yeah, they are. They're just around the corner in Kill, which is just up the road. So Kildare is very lucky to have them running such a great restaurant so close by.
So after Le Crevan, what was the next step?
Actually, that's when the recession kind of hit, around 2009, 2010, and there wasn't really too many great jobs around at that time. I kind of went to work at a few places, and I kind of wanted a break from being a chef for a little while, so I ended up actually going back to the man who got me into my first job, David Hicks. He working in his butchers in Hicks Foods, and kind of doing a little bit of that for a little while. It's kind of a weird period point in my life, because I actually kind of wanted to be a musician around that time, so I kind of took a break. Chef completely, like, and then I moved to Australia, kind of got a bit homesick, and then I came home, and then I ended up working on Estampa, which was a really, really great hotel at the time. And from there, I kind of put my head down and worked hard then, and worked some great chefs around that time, and then kind of ended up working in a restaurant called Saison in Gilaire Street that was kind of up and coming at the time. And the head chef, Graham, was a really great chef to work for, and I learned a lot. And then kind of from that, I kind of started on my own journey and kind of head chef roles. And after that, like, kind of around that period was a real learning point for me. It was when I kind of started taking on more senior roles and learning the business style of restaurants rather than the cooking style, because I feel I had the cooking style down then, but it was more the management style, and which is such an important part of being a chef. Like, I learned such a great lesson from John Healy in Susie Street, which he used to say to me all the time, cooking is the easy part, it's everything else is the hard part. And that's so true. Like, you know, it's just going and cook is the enjoyable part. Managing people and, you know, managing expectations and all those other things, that's what makes a truly great chef.
Well, I suppose when you're in the kitchen and you know what the menu is, you know exactly how to cook it and how it's going to be served, and you know your team well, whereas the front of house, in terms of customers, they just don't know what the attitude of a customer is going to be whenever they come in. So definitely, I think John Healy, there's great worth in what he's saying about that. So you, at this stage, you were a head chef and you were, you know, the head honcho in the kitchen, but you decided then that you wanted to be the head of your own. Yeah.
I felt like I was ready to have my own restaurant at that stage. I kind of worked for enough people, and I kind of felt like it was something I had burning inside me, was to have my own restaurant. Like, I dreamt about it from my first job onwards, and I had that opportunity in 2018. Kind of me and three of my friends slash business partners, we decided to go for, you know, build a vision and open our own spot. And this property in Terranera we'd been looking at for a really long time. We never thought we'd get it because, you know, key money was such a big thing at the time. And, you know, there's huge key money on this building and huge, we thought it'd be such a hard spot to get. And kind of, I wrote the business plan for the business and kind of came up with the ideas and went to the banks, and we were getting shot down. And ironically enough, the business plan was for a certain figure, and we ended up meeting that figure in our first year, but the bank said it was impossible. So I guess it wasn't completely impossible, but we ended up signing the lease for Circa the very end of 2018. And we spent the next sort of, as soon as we got the lease, basically ripping it apart, doing all the interior stuff ourselves, painting it, did everything we could ourselves. Like I designed the logo, I did all the artwork on the walls. Anything I could do, I could do, because I wanted people to feel like it was my restaurant. Like, because I had this kind of thing in my head that I really wanted it to be 100% me in every aspect of the restaurant, from the food to the vibes, everything. Like, because I felt like that was something I had in me that I wanted to get out. Like, and then we opened Circa, and within 3 months we were in the Michelin Guide with a Bib Gourmand, and we had amazing reviews, and the restaurant was pretty full all the time, and it was almost a whirlwind how successful it was. It was like, I actually look back and it was like almost a blink of an eye how long it lasted, because pretty soon afterwards was COVID, and that kind of slightly ruined everything, unfortunately. Like, it was also maybe going into business with four friends probably isn't always the best option either, because sometimes there's too many cooks and things can go awry very quickly when there's sort of not one or two people leading the vision, when there's four people pulling in separate directions. And fortunately, didn't really last as long as you should have. But, you know, the lessons I learned from Circa now have stood to me now in my current role in the neighborhood, and it makes me very appreciative of the success we've had now and what's going on now here in Nice.
And you mentioned Tom McGrath there, who is from Tipperary originally, and I think between his contacts with the farms down in Tipperary, and it sounds like you're a trained butcher from all the experience that you had in the butcher shops, and obviously you're an award-winning chef as well. So it's kind of the perfect recipe for the perfect restaurant.
Well, we'd like to think so. Like, everything in the neighborhood is as thought out as it can be. Like, that's why I fell in love with the vision that Tom and Tom gave me when I first met him. You know, I had a few offers for other restaurants that were maybe a bit more, would have been a bit easier maybe. But once I met Tom, I was like, God, I can't say no to this restaurant. And that meant uprooting from Dublin too, because I'd never really even been to Kildare, let alone to work in Kildare, although my partner's from Kildare. So kind of worked out well in the end. But once I met him, I knew, God, I need to work for this man, because his vision of things is definitely different to a lot of other people. You know, like, there's everything in the restaurant is as beautiful and as aesthetically beautiful and as functional as possible, you know, from the foam wall plates and crockery we have. You know, there's these bespoke Waterford wood tables. Like, everything is, like, the room is incredibly beautiful. Like, I think I actually think it's one of the most beautiful rooms in the country. Like, it really is. Like, in certain times of the day, and it's very almost like a tranquil space to be in. You know, it's very very nice room to be in. And what we're doing now with our plan going forward is to be almost the fork. Like, it's a bit of a cliche to say fork to table, but that is kind of what we're hoping to be, with getting our meat directly from a butcher in Kilkenny and Tipperary. You know, we're going to be using ex-dairy cows, Friesian cows, that are, you know, really sustainable practice to use. And it's also cost-effective for us too. We're able to, you know, use every single part of the cow across the board in the restaurant. We're using the beef fat in cocktails. We're, you know, beef fat washing whiskey. We're using all the trim for sauces. We're using all the ground beef for burgers for lunch. You know, all the prime cuts are getting used on a Thursday, and then some of the secondary cuts. And then some of the larger cuts are getting used on a Sunday for a roast. So we are literally trying our best to use every single part of the cow, with nothing really going to waste.
That farm to fork experience is something that people want to enjoy more and more in Ireland. And, you know, you talked about the space there and how beautiful it is. And I can confirm that it is indeed. You know, I was really struck by how lovely it was whenever I walked into the restaurant, and the ambiance there. And I love that on the menu, you name check a lot of the local suppliers and the Irish suppliers, because I think that's becoming increasingly important to diners. And your servers were also very knowledgeable in everything that was on the menu as well, which is always great to see. So you're working with a farmer called, is it Donal O'Hanlon?
Yep, Donny from Stoney is his nickname. He's known Tom's father for 55 years. They've you know, been dealing with cows together. So it's really going to Tom's roots there, you know, with the cows. Like, that's the level of, you know, integrity we're trying to use. Like, you know, where Tom even knows the farmer we're using and probably knows the cattle by name. So that just shows the respect level we have for the animals, you know, that we really are delving that much into it, you know. And even with our veg at the moment, we have a farm that we're using in just up the road in Ballymore Eustace. It's from Dom and Hilda's farm, Castle Rotary Organic. It's a fabulous, fabulous farm, and their produce is unbelievable. Like, it really is some of the nicest veg I've ever used in my career anyway. Like, to be working with that level of produce makes my job so easy, because I'm literally just putting stuff on a plate, you know. They're the ones doing the real work.
And you mentioned then the 8-week Thursday steak night. So is it just on a Thursday that people can, I suppose it's nearly like an education where you're using the prime cuts and then innovative uses of the off cuts as well?
Yeah, like, for example, this week we have a sharing cote de boeuf for two. And then I've taken all the brisket and the short rib and I've braised it down, and I've cooked it with some beef, reduced it down to beef stock and some herbs and some mustard, and pressed it into a tureen. And that's just getting fried like a croquette. So we're using up all the trim for that. And then, you know, we're using all the bone marrow in a French onion soup and little bits like that. We're kind of trying to use every piece of the animal every week. And this is our third week now. We're only kind of halfway through the cow. So it shows how much meat there is actually on a cow. We've had almost three weeks of out of it so far. You know, it's brilliant. Like, it's great for the staff too, for the young chefs in the kitchen to come in, break down a cow, or break down the half cow, and the young bartenders too. They get to learn how to use, you know, the beef fat in a drink, you know, which they haven't seen before. And just for like staff in general. Like, it's really fun for us to be able to do these kind of things. Like, you know, when you're learning about something, but you're also practically doing it. Like, sometimes when you're a young chef, you don't get to touch the meat until you're, you know, 10 or 12 years in the industry. Like, you won't be allowed anywhere near a piece of meat. Certainly when I was a young chef, that's what it was like. But now, you know, with the way kitchens are, you have a lot more hands-on learning these days, because kitchens are much, much, much smaller crews of people. So there's a lot more trust and a lot more, oh, you better learn how to do this because you have to. So it's a good way to do it.
And tell me more about the signature cocktail, a beef fat washed Manhattan. I presume it tastes better than it maybe sounds.
It actually tastes really beautiful because the beef, so basically we take beef fat and brown butter and we infuse it into whiskey, and then we freeze it and we strain out the solids. So the butter and the beef fat solidify in when they're frozen. We strain it and we use that in when the sauce is actually, because what happens is the butter takes on the whiskey flavor and the whiskey takes on the beef fat and butter flavor. So it becomes really mellow and rich and very buttery. So in a cocktail like that, that's quite strong, it actually mellows it out, and it's really delicious. Actually, I actually recommend that for anyone to try.
Yeah, it definitely sounds worth trying. So it does. So to finish off, then, whenever I saw the menu, and it's not an extensive menu, but you're still spoiled for choice on that menu. What is your favorite dish on the menu at the moment?
So the French onion soup would be my favorite thing on the Thursday night menu at the moment, just because we've taken something really classical and really old school and kind of done our own twist on it by incorporating bone marrow and beef fat and really cooking the onions for a long time and really putting a lot of effort into it, and then using the beef stock from the trim of the bones. And, you know, it might seem simple, but there's a lot of complexity in it, and, you know, that's the kind of food I love.
And then on the other menu, what's your favorite dish?
Currently, we have this mackerel dish we have on that we lightly cure and smoke. And then we take smoked mackerel and we roll it in cucumber. And we've got like a rhubarb ponzu that we do it. And then some rhubarb and some velvet cloud yogurt that we lightly smoke as well. And that would be my favorite dish at the moment, just because we actually just changed it last weekend. So I kind of, dishes become really fun for the first kind of month, and then they get changed.
Well, look, that sounds like a great dish to choose if anybody's lucky enough to be going to dine with you in the next week or so. If anybody wants to find out more or to book in, Gareth, where's the best place for them to go to?
Open Table is probably the easiest way to book with us. Because it's such a handy service, you can kind of see what's available. Because we are quite a big restaurant, like there's plenty, there usually is some availability through Open Table for most days of the week that we're open. We are quite busy every day, but there's always room for people.
Brilliant. Listen, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for sharing your story and continued success.
Thank you so much, Sharon. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.